straight from your word that we're speaking today. Lord, in Jesus' name, let there be a challenge given to us to go with the word of God. "'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin, so he held it up with a smile. "What am I bidding for this?" he said. "A dollar, who'll make it two? $2, who'll make it three?" But no, from the room far back, a grey-haired old man came forward and picked up the bow and played a melody so pure and sweet as the angel sings. The auctioneer said then again, "Now what am I bid for the old violin?" $1,000, $2,000, and who'll make it three? And the people cheered, and some of them cried, "We don't quite understand what change it's worth." The man replied, "The touch of a master's hand." And many a man with his life out of tune and battered and scarred with sin is auctioned cheap to a thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. But the master comes and a mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He's going once, he's going twice, he's going and almost gone, but the master comes, and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that's wrought by the touch of the master's hand. That's the one. Every soul, even all of us, is on the auction block this morning. Some of us have made a decision on that auction block, but every soul is on the auction block. My message this morning is on the greatest job in the world, soul winning. Why win souls? Why be a soul winner? Because the worth of a soul is the most valuable thing on earth. I just like to make an apology for my tears if they come. So far they haven't. Mum used to cry a lot when she talked about Jesus, and she asked the Lord to hold back her tears. Then her heart over time was hardened, and she had to ask God to bring back the tears. Yeah. So people say, like father, like son. And I might have to say a bit that I think it's like mother, like son there in that part. But I have a scripture for my tears, and it is Psalm 126. "They that sow in tears shall reap with joy." And I found another scripture that came through my mind, and it's Psalm 56. And it says, "God gathers up all your tears in his bottle." How about that? Okay. What is a human soul worth? A human body we're talking about now. The fat for 7 bars of soap, 50 grams of salt, 6 grams of sugar, carbon for 9,000 lead pencils, 6 grams of iron, 1.5 kilos of calcium, 47 litres of water, and phosphorus for 2,200 matches. The value of a soul is far different. My text this morning is Mark 8:36. "For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Another scripture, Jesus said, "Thou fool, this night your soul will be required of you. And then who will get what you've laid up for yourself. Number one, the worth of a soul is measured by the length of eternity. The worth of a soul is measured by the length of eternity. You know, we can't grasp what eternity is. The High and Holy One who inhabits eternity says, I dwell in that high and holy place with him who has a contrite and a humble spirit. So then, that's just telling us that Christ is the door, the way for us to live in eternity, to live there, which we can do here on earth. Isn't that wonderful? The number two reason the worth of a soul is measured by this truth, that man is made in the image of God. Each one of us is unique. Fingerprints, DNA, so much so that a forensic scientist can find the criminal. When I consider the heavens and the work of thy hands, what is man that thou art mindful of him? The third reason why that the worth of a soul is measured by the price that Jesus paid for it. It is measured by the sufferings of Christ. Now, the worth of a soul, you know, we can only go to the Word of God. That's why you find I'm talking the Word of God here. Because I can't find the worth of a soul anywhere else but here in the Bible. We are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Hallelujah. And that blood is so precious to God. And I know it's so precious to us. Oh, the blood will never lose its power. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Number four, by the torments of hell is the measure of the worth of a soul. By the torments of hell. Jesus spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. Some of you might not realize that. In Luke 16, Jesus tells the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man didn't ask for a glass of water. He asked for Lazarus to dip his finger in water. But when I read it again, preparing for this message, it says, ask Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water. Oh, the terrible thing hell is. Oh. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Torments. Being in torments. That's plural. And Abraham said to the son, remember. So there is not only the fire, but conscience is a torment for those who are lost, and memory is a torment. But guess what? This is surprising. The man in hell, he became a soul winner, because he said, "Oh, send Lazarus because I've got five brothers." So hell implores us to win souls, and especially for our loved ones. So, yeah. No, but Abraham said, no, can't happen. They've got Moses. They've got Moses. So that's the word of God that we have to bring to people. And only the word of God can change lives. A, because sinners are perishing beside us. He that hath the Son hath life, but he that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abides on him. And then Psalm 9, when the wicked are turned into hell and all nations that forget God. It just goes, ask the question, we have to ask ourselves, is our neighbour, do we love our neighbour enough to tell them? B, because the condition of the lost should motivate us. Jesus, in John 4, I must needs go through Samaria. So he was already knowing that there was a woman there that he needed to touch. James 5:20, let him know whoever converts a sinner from the error of his ways saves the soul from death and hides a multitude of sin. C, because love constrains us, compels us. In Acts 20:31, Paul says, by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone, night and day with tears. Night and day with tears. So I'm in good company, if you understand that. Number five, the worth of a soul is measured by the responsibility of soul winning that is placed upon all believers. Every Christian should be a soul winner. A, because God commands us, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And the Lord said to his servant, go out to the highways and byways and compel them to come in so that my house might be filled. And Jesus said to the legion, go home and tell your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and has had compassion on you. B, because God is depending on us. 2 Corinthians 5:18. Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God beseeching us, we beg you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Can you see the anguish of God the Father? The cry of God the Father in that verse? I can see it there. C, also because Jesus himself encourages us or even commands us in Mark 4, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus, in other words, said, you think you're doing a great thing catching fish, but if you follow me, I'll show you true greatness. Jesus called them to capture lives, to catch lives. We can lure others to God by hooking them with the love of Jesus. All right, just a bit of advice. How do I follow Jesus to win souls? One, firstly, get close to Jesus, or everything else will fail if we don't. Warm yourself near God's heart. Nearer you get to Jesus, the easier it is to win souls. Number two, ask the Lord for a passion, a burden for souls. Three, develop a skill in making contacts. Ask leading questions. Do a kindness. Meet a need. Ask a favour. Help someone. You know, the fishing requires tact and patience. And that's why in soul winning, like, it's different talking to your neighbour or talking to someone you meet suddenly, you know, that you give a word. So, you know, for those closer to you, you've got to have that wisdom from God, don't you? And number four, uncover the person's real need. Pray for the Holy Spirit's revelation at that time. You know, the Holy Spirit may give you a word that fits in right perfectly. Number five, listen. We have to listen to the other person. That's that done. And now we come to the last one. The number six reason for the worth of a soul is because of the love of God. The love of God. God so loved. That is the emphasis. emphasis. God so loved he gave his son. And in John 13, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own, he loved them to the end. I thought that was well put, you know, there. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, but is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So, because heaven is encouraging us, the good shepherd left the 99 for that, just the one lost sheep. And then he said, rejoice with me, for I have found the sheep that was lost. Likewise, there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. And in Hebrews 12:1-2, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, can you imagine the people that are gone of you? Your mum and dad are in heaven and they're looking down, you know. It's a great cloud of witnesses up there. Let us lay aside every weight and looking unto Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. So there's joy in soul winning. He was doing the soul winning on the cross for us because he saw us on the cross, didn't he? Okay. Now, the next verse seems to me a culmination of seeking the lost. And this is in heaven, Revelation 21:4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, nor any more pain. And then we got B, because the reward should save us, should spur us on to win souls. The reward should spur us on to win souls. There's a foundation in 1 Corinthians 3, and Jesus is the foundation. And we build on it. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay and stubble. And the fire will test everyone's work. If it endures, you'll receive a reward. Even a cup of water that we give, they reckon there's a reward. The Bible reckons there's a reward for it. Joy is awaiting the soul winner. And there's my scripture again, 126 Psalms. I won't repeat it, but you know the one that says that they will go out with their sheaves and come again. He that weepeth, right, that's enough. But now, just think, it's not only in heaven that we're going to have the joy is awaiting us, but also that it happens now when you lead a soul to Jesus. You say, Jesus, there's something that hits your heart. It's the joy of the Lord. Yes. Have you ever had that? I want to tell you the story about a funeral of a great soul winner. Catherine Booth, you know, of the Salvation Army. The rich royalty and the poor passed by the casket, and a poorly dressed woman hugged and kissed the glass case in tears. An attendant said, move on. You know, hundreds of people coming through. And she turned to him and said, I cannot. The woman that lies here saved my two boys from hell. They are now heaven bound. Very good. And I'd like to just let you know about my mum over the back fence some years ago. She spoke to Annika. She seemed to always cry when she spoke. So I guess Annika was saved through her testimony. And I was invited to her father's house, Sven, many times. And he was an atheist. And so I used to debate. And he didn't make a decision during my time, but I just know that, like the thief on the cross, he would have turned to the Lord maybe at the last moment. I talked to him a lot, to put it up. All right, the last story for me is that I was at Mosa, that's West New Britain, when I was much younger, and I was on a motorbike, and I was inviting people to church. I yelled out, and this woman on the veranda, I yelled out, inviting her to church, and she said, no, I'm another religion. And then I said, oh, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the point. He's the way. And then I had to believe, of course. And 30 years later or so, when 2018, when I was over in Papua New Guinea and I was heading to the same place, to a little church, and it was night time, and I was walking up to do what I'm doing here, and then a woman stopped me, a little old woman by this time, and she said, "Do you remember me?" That was the woman. And to me, that was so full of joy with that happening. Yeah. All right, see, because wisdom is reasoning with us. Proverbs 11:30. These are good verses. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Proverbs 4:18. The path of the just is like the shining sun that shines more and more, even brighter unto the perfect day. Daniel 12:3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. D. Because time is challenging us. Romans 13. Knowing the time, that it is high time to awake out of sleep, for the night is far spent, the day is at hand. And I like to conclude by saying that Jesus is coming soon. He's coming as a thief in the night, for the trumpet shall sound. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. And you know what? It's really souls that we've had saved. I don't know. That's me. That I think that reward is. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The good news is the power of God to salvation. Don't keep it to yourself. How beautiful are the feet of him that brings good tidings, and her too. Salvation is a free gift. So pass it on. You're offering a priceless commodity. Your hidden treasure is in heaven, where no rust, no thief, no inflation. So build your treasure there. The only thing you can take with you to heaven is precious eternal souls. They are the rare pearls of great price. So be on fire. Love fervently. It's contagious. And this is the last bit, just to encourage you with this final word, the power of your testimony, what God has done for you. And sometimes it's your healing even, so the power of your testimony. Now listen to this. Revelation 19:10. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The definition of testimony is the spoken, written, or written record of anything God has done in your life. The testimony of Jesus gives hope and prophesies to the hearer what God is willing to do for them. So every time we tell a story, we create opportunity for that story to be duplicated. The Old Testament word for testimony comes from another word which means to do it again. When we share our testimony, it or the room becomes pregnant with the possibility that God will do it again. So share your testimony. I encourage you, share your testimony. You'll change the atmosphere you live in. Amen.